Today's reading comes from Romans 13, 11 through 14. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let's put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of a sinful nature. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I thank my brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, brother. Please join with me in prayer. We thank you, Lord, for this day, and we're grateful for how you're at work in our lives. Thank you for sustaining us, but thank you also for planning surprises for us, ways in which we see you work that we never saw coming or expected. We open ourselves to the coming of Christ and the new life that that means and brings. It's in the name of our Savior that we pray. Amen. I'd mentioned earlier about movies that stink. Actually, I said movies that are a waste of time, that you walk out on, things like that. But there's a particular movie that inevitably is on television around this time of year. It's called Christmas Vacation. And I don't know if anybody's familiar with that movie by any chance. And a particular family, the Griswolds, the Griswold family. Clark Griswold decorates his house in such a way that there are so many bulbs and so much power that it takes that once it finally goes on, and the scene when it just glows in the midst of the darkness of cold winter in Chicago, the meter starts spinning around, houses around him darken, there's an alarm that goes off at the power station, an engineer flips the switch to send out more power, the houses have lights again, and all because this one guy has to have so many lights, so much power, so much shining ability to outshine anyone else. Well, it's kind of a ridiculous scene, although I apologize for anybody that uses that same decorative style on their house at Christmas. Please let me know. I'd like to come by and see it some evening. For us, there is something that we can take from that, believe it or not. Maybe I think too much about God and sermons whenever I'm watching movies or reading something, and I'll say, oh, I can use that. But I really think you can in that situation. This idea of this surge of power coming out for us, if you will, coming towards us, this surge of power actually that is filling us. And I would say it in that way. I think that's probably the best way to say it. A surge of power that fills us. Because whether we realize it or not, God is at work in our lives. Whether we realize it or not, God is at work in our lives. So that power is already at work in us. We might not recognize it. We might not even realize that we need it. We might not even realize that we're pulling from it. Sometimes, I don't know if, like me, you look at things in hindsight and you realize where God was at work. And you realize that something wasn't a coincidence. It was a God incident. That happens. That happens for the people of God, for the people who claim the name of Jesus Christ above all names. That working of God's Holy Spirit, that power that fills us. I mention that because in this season of Advent, we need to be open to that power. We need to be open to that surge of God's grace in our lives, because it is already present. How are we going to respond? That's really the only question. God's grace and love are already at work in our lives. How are we going to respond? Advent actually has more connection to the Christian season of Lent than you might think. Now, with Lent, what do you think of? Giving up things, right? Giving up stuff. I was always, during Lent, willing to give up readily Brussels sprouts, but nobody thought that that was a particular sacrifice on my part. Something that, to me, my mind, just tasted like dirt. But that's okay. Maybe you have a recipe that's good. And again, you can bring it by my office any day of the week, except Friday I'm off. Anyways, for us, you know, we think about giving up stuff, okay? But, you know, right now, who is going to be willing to give up chocolate? Who? Raise your hand right now. Next few weeks. Anybody? Willing to get? Okay, there's a couple people. Yeah, you can do that. All right. They're not sick, okay? Don't say that. They're very spiritual. Learn something from that. For us, Lent, though, is more about preparation, isn't it? For something that's on the way. And certainly, as Christians, the season of Lent, maybe you didn't expect to hear this much about Lent this first Sunday of Advent, but believe me, it's connected. In Lent, there's a preparation for an amazing event, a resurrection that changed the world, a whole new way of living that started this incredible outpouring of the Holy Spirit that made everything different, that truly brought forward God's kingdom in a whole new way that we could experience every day, every breath. Advent is that same expectation, that same waiting, that same preparation, if you will, for the surprise of what is to come. Now, certainly we know the story, but sometimes that's the problem with biblical stories that are so familiar. We say, okay, got that one, check that off, let me go ahead and move on to the next thing. And we miss a great nugget of truth in the midst of it. Advent is about God breaking in once again. God breaking through once again. God's grace and love reminding us that He is the one who's in control and that He has the final say. That's a good thing to be waiting for, isn't it? That's a wonderful thing to prepare ourselves for, to prepare ourselves to be surprised by. I don't necessarily like surprise parties, but the way that God's grace surprises me, I love it. Absolutely. The scripture passage today in which Paul is talking about the time on its way. The time is ripe for us to be able to experience God's presence in our midst. Reminds us that we need to prepare. Now, certainly as Christians, we understand that Christ already was born. Certainly, we understand that. He already came. I understand that as well. He was crucified, He died, He was resurrected, and then He ascended. And He proved that He was the Savior. And He proves to us again and again and again that He loves us and that He cares about us. I understand that. We know all of that. But in the Christian calendar, this being the first Sunday of the Christian calendar, it's an opportunity for newness. It's an opportunity to experience God in a whole new way. It's an opportunity for us to say once again, Lord, it's my life and it belongs to You. It is not mine to maintain or rule over. It is Yours. And I'm giving it to You once again this first Sunday of the Christian year. This Sunday when we think about anticipation. This Sunday when we think about preparing. This Sunday when maybe we think about living Advent like we live Lent, getting rid of some of the things that keep us from experiencing God, letting go of some of the resentments, unloading some of the lack of trust, laying before God the burdens that we've carried, that He's wanted to carry, that He keeps kind of having a tug of war with us, a spiritual, psychic kind of tug of war. God's pulling at those things, and we pull back and say, Lord, I can do a better job. Then we realize we can't. Let go of it. Just absolutely let go of it to God. This time of Advent. and see how much more of a wonderful time it can be in your life spiritually. You know, sometimes once Advent, let me go ahead and just say it, Christmas is over, we go, and we say, thank God. And I say that reverently there, just glad to be wrapped up with everything. I want to introduce to you clearly today that it doesn't have to be that way. It really doesn't. It doesn't have to be a hecticness, a running around, but rather an excitement to be able to experience and see Christ in a whole new way. My brother in Christ did a wonderful job in reading this morning. And yet there are a couple of other verses that really are connected with this passage. And I'd like to go ahead and step back just to those verses, beginning with verse 8. It's verse 8 through 10. He picked up at verse 11 through 13, but verses 8 through 10 also are key to make sense of what Paul is trying to tell the church here, and therefore tell each and every one of us. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Quote, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Let me go ahead and jump ahead to Hebrews in chapter 10, beginning with verse 1, where it says, since the law has only a shadow of the good things to come and not the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered year after year, make perfect those who approach. Otherwise, would they not have ceased being offered, since the worshippers, cleansed once for all, would no longer have any consciousness of sin? But in these sacrifices there is a reminder of sin year after year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, see, God, I have come to do your will, O God. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. What Paul is talking about there is sacrifices, which at one point were seen as taking away sins. Certainly, those were the ritual laws that guided offerings. And the dietary laws offered guidance on remaining clean and remaining pure for God's service. But in Christ, those kind of sacrifices, those burnt offerings, those sin offerings, whether you take a bull or a dove or some sort of animal to offer to God and say, please forgive me, those are no longer needed. Those kinds of offerings are no longer needed. I want you to realize how much freedom that gives us as Christians, how much true freedom that gives us. It's no longer based on what we can bring to God. Our forgiveness is based on what God has already done for us. Do you understand that? That's a key component, my friends. Whenever we can grasp that, when we can truly open ourselves to what God has already done for us, keeping our eye on that cross there, keeping mindful of the crosses that we see in our lives, then we realize that we have a freedom. It's something that we're free to accept or deny as well. And I believe that one of the ways that we can start accepting that freedom and, of course, that grace and that forgiveness is to truly live those words that were spoken here by Paul, loving our neighbors, loving our neighbors as ourselves. At this time of year, and I commend people for doing this, and I'm very thankful for people doing this. In fact, Paul Gunderson, who's the pastor at the park just right over here, Fortuna d'Oro, takes a group down to Crossroads Missions every Thanksgiving and feeds people. And you may see pictures of that. And right now, this time of year, Crossroads Missions needs our support, and it needs our support in every way that we can give. But at this time of year also, you'll see kind of more of a focus on that. And while that's a way of sharing love, no question about it, you're going to be leaving those people then, eventually. You're probably not going to be staying there. The challenge to love our neighbor is not in those times when we feel ready. The challenge to love our neighbor is at all times. And the great challenge to love our neighbor is at those times when we don't feel like sharing love. I don't know if you've ever had to deal with somebody that's difficult. I don't know. Has anybody ever had that experience? Ever had to deal with somebody? Please don't point to the person next to you right now. I can get names later from you, okay? Just slip those under my door. Anyways, for us, that's the challenge, okay? Because that person that God puts in front of us that seems unlovable or is just a challenge for us is the person that God wants us to see as our neighbor. And if we can understand that God loved us first when we were unlovable, when we were in the midst of sin, when we were in the midst of the muck, well, then we realize that maybe we do have a love to share. Maybe there is something, a presence of God in us that we can offer to someone else, maybe in just even a small little way. What a joy that is. Paul says the other responses, the things that do not build us up, like partying and drunkenness, they take the attention away from what's really important. Quarreling and jealousy, they destroy community and injure relationships. And especially quarreling and jealousy within God's church. That does incredible damage. Because then other people see that and they say, well, what's different then about being a Christian than anything else in the world? There's about setting ourselves aside and allowing God to rule. Allowing God to speak. Allowing to be Christ-like. Dag Hammarskjöld, who was the Secretary General of the United Nations, had this quote, and I liked it. He said, "For all that has been, thanks. For all that will be, yes." I think we can be Christ-like in seeking to follow that statement. Thanks, therefore, puts aside any regrets, okay? When we're truly thankful to God, then regrets have no place in our lives. We don't have to carry them anymore. We don't have to be regretful. Lay it before God and leave it there. And yes, dissipates any fears for the future. So in other words, we can go forward trusting in God, knowing that He's going to be with us. Knowing that God is going to guide us and that we can actually trust in Him to take care of us and to take care of our lives. Does that mean everything's going to go just wonderful? No. Not at all. But it does remind us that God is going to be with us through all things. There's an imagery here of waking up also. I know my roommate Greg and I at college, we had these alarm clocks that had these huge metal bells on top, okay? And it was probably like they were probably taken off of an old fire station. And, you know, they had been used there at one time. But we had it so well timed that there was like a little click right before it went off. And all of a sudden, we were on bunk beds. You could just see two arms go, boom, and just grab that thing before it went off, before it startled us to wake. For us, there's an imagery of waking up here as well. And Paul simply is saying, be aware. Be vigilant. Be paying attention on God. Don't be distracted by things that sometimes seem important but will fade away. Be focused on that which is eternal. Be focused on the God who is present in your life at this very moment, in this very breath, and then the next one, and then the next one to come. The things that Paul speaks of certainly are challenging. But it reminds us that the call to be disciples today is important now more than ever. The call to point people towards the cross, to remind them of God's presence, is more important now than ever. The call to love our neighbors is more important now than ever. The call for integrity and service and waiting for God's surprise of grace in our life is what we are called to do from this moment forward. There's a particular Jeremy Camp song, Christian contemporary song by Jeremy Camp that's called Jesus Saves. And it talks about that we shared it with all the world. That's one of the choruses, that Jesus saves, and shout it out to all the world that Jesus saves. And I think about the songs that we're going to be singing, that we've sung today, that speak about Christ coming, being excited, being expectant, knowing that God's going to work in our lives in a new way, in a way of love, because that's what he wants us to share. You know, God will never work in your way in a way that he doesn't want you to then share. So he's going to bless you with love so that you can share it with others. That's exciting, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing. God's going to work in that way, and we can be expectant, and we can sing of that, and we can sing of waiting for Jesus, and come thou long-expected Jesus, and also we can sing that Jesus saves, because that's really what this season is about, and that's truly what the cross reminds us of. I'd invite you, in the time of discipleship right now, just to take a few moments to think about the cross, but also to think about that phrase, Jesus saves. What does it mean to you personally? How is God working in your life to sing that to other people?